I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
It's time for Touche here on The Download. Every Monday night, we talk national politics. Dave Lundy and Chris Veronis in studio tonight. Veronis in for Chris Roebling. All right, let's get to it right away. I guess what we talk about is there's only 12 days left of the reconciliation period till I guess the fiscal year ends in Washington. And tonight, there's more and more activity that the Republicans are readying possibly an Obamacare repeal. Talk about this. I mean, is this something that you think you knew was coming in the last 12 days, or is this something that Republicans are seizing on? They're going to take one more shot at this thing before.
I didn't know it was coming. It was a bit of a surprise, but a welcome surprise. I liked the fact that these guys were working behind the scenes quietly to talk it out, negotiate, build a coalition, get to 51 and pass something. So this is great. This is fantastic. You know, it probably explains why Chuck Schumer was just all over this like lava, trying to, you know, stop it. You know, there might be movement. I think I heard that Rand Paul is a hard no.
Yeah, and there's still question about the two Republican senators that voted no last time.
Exactly. So it's a tenuous thing. I mean,
do you run the risk, Dave? Let me ask you this. I mean, as Republican Party, if they get public about this and they do everything, Chris is excited, and they do it again and they fall short again, is there risk in that? In the way that they tried twice and couldn't do it? I mean, especially with 2018 on everybody's mind.
You know, Justin, on the 12th day of Christmas, my Democrat said to me, "Show me a CBO score or shut up."
You're Jewish, Dave.
Yeah, come on. You know, it's okay. I went to public schools. I sung a lot of Christmas carols. So, you know, the Democrats rightly responded to this latest ridiculous effort, said, look, you cannot possibly vote for this thing without a CBO score. You have to have some analysis of what it is you're going to do to every man, woman, and child in this country before
you do
it.
And that has been a thorn in the Republican side. The CBO has come out a couple of times with reports that were bad. The numbers, it's just bad headlines.
Facts stink.
It adds a little bit of a it's just not good. The optics aren't good when you're talking about kicking people off of insurance.
Yeah. No, the optics aren't good. And I think at the end of the day, Mitch McConnell will never call this unless he knows for 100% he's got 51. Period. That's it.
And what happens on October 1st? I mean, I don't understand the idea. This is just the end of what they voted, reconciliation, the idea to essentially change the laws and go 51 gets it as opposed to filibuster and 60. Is that it just ends on October 1st and then what, they just never will try that again?
No, I think the Republicans have demonstrated they will try again. All it ends is that this period of reconciliation is over, and then they have to take another embarrassing vote, and then they have to try yet again. Look, the only thing that gives me pause as a Democrat about this latest repeal effort is that one of the sponsors is Lindsey Graham. Who is Lindsey Graham's best friend in the U.S. Senate? John McCain. Who's the guy who killed the bill last time? John McCain. So I don't know. And McCain is saying a lot of negative things about the bill again, saying, why can't we just have regular order like we've talked about? But I don't know if he'll do that to his close friend, Lindsey Graham.
That's actually a really good point. I mean, the two sponsors on the bill, Cassidy, I think is from Nevada, right?
I thought Louisiana.
Well, I was wrong. But still, to have Lindsey Graham on it is a big deal.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I mean, look, I think that what is absolutely befuddling, you know, Congresswoman Sherry Bustos was at City Club today, and my question to her was, you know, what's the progress on bipartisan efforts to fix Obamacare? Because really, that's what the American people want. They don't want to repeal and start over. They don't want to block grant to the states and trust all your state governments with your health care. They would like you to just fix what's broken. And it's just not getting done.
Well,
I don't see any prospects.
Senator McCain came out and said, I read a quote from him saying, you know, the reason Obamacare failed, in his words, failed, is because it was all Democrats. It wasn't bipartisan. So that might even be a way to read the tea leaves and say he's not going to go for something that, once again, is one party pushing something through with where we continue this kind of politics where it's one party votes, the other party doesn't, and we continue.
But, of course, we didn't know that John McCain was going to vote the way he did last time until he voted. So I wouldn't read anything into his current statements because, you know, the second repeal effort or the first or the one-and-a-half repeal effort, McCain made all kinds of nasty, nasty noises, and then he voted for it. So, you know, I would not want to put a lot of money on what John McCain's going to do. Mm. But it's going to be interesting. I mean, look, we have to fix healthcare in this country. I mean, you've got Obamacare that Donald Trump is actively sabotaging. They cut the advertising and marketing budget to try to get the annual sign-up budget by 95% because they are trying to kill Obamacare by any means possible.
When you look at insurers pulling out of the exchanges, when you look at premiums going up, not being able to pick your own doctors, I think Obamacare is sabotaging itself.
No, that's happening because of the Trump administration is creating uncertainty. The insurers have said this. If you create uncertainty in the marketplace, you make insurers raise rates more than they otherwise would have to.
And it's also manipulating capitalism for your political purpose.
Right.
And in the next segment, Donald Trump's behind Hurricane Jose.
I'm sorry. You're acting like it's some kind of joke. It is a plan. This is a fact. This is what they have been doing systematically.
This has been going on for ever since Obamacare's inception.
Right, you're right. Republicans have been You are completely wrong on that, my friend. In fact, premiums went up lower under the first 3 years of Obamacare than they had at any time in the previous 20 years. Look, I used to have an employer health plan, and the first year in our employer health plan from 2000 to 2001, our premiums went up 80%. This is not new under Obamacare, but the Republicans have systematically tried to destroy it by when Marco Rubio defunded the what are called the risk corridors, which gave health insurers comfort that they would not be left high and dry.
All of that being said, I mean, at the end of the day, both parties should be ashamed that people will text in here and other people will talk that they have premiums that are $1,000, $15, $2,000 a month to be able to have insurance through the federal exchanges. That's ridiculous. And that is a factor of both parties not being able to recognize that this is something that hurts Americans at the level. And that's the problem. That, to me, beyond repealing it and moving things around, mm-hmm. get together and fix that part. Yeah.
That's the health insurance. It's our private health insurance system. And that's fundamentally part of the problem. And so that leads to the other interesting question, which is, you know, Bernie Sanders and a bunch of Democrats got on board, did something that politically was so unpalatable only 5 years ago, even when Obamacare was being considered. They proposed a single payer health system.
Yeah.
They proposed Medicare for all. Yeah. And, you know,
what do you think of that, Chris?
I'm actually supportive.
Really?
Yeah. I'm supportive of these would-be Democratic presidential candidates and their donors pushing this bill, and I think it should get a vote. I think we need a roll call on this vote, and you know, I think you should nominate Bernie, I'm all for that.
Dave Lundy, Chris Veronis, we're playing Touche.
Touche, Mr. Veronis.
Mr. Veronis. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about updates on the investigation into Russia collusion. Well, that's a fun new topic. Coming up here on 720 WTN.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche. You go right.
We continue to argue about healthcare off air, on air. Let's move on to Russia. Chris Veronis and Dave Lundy in studio tonight. Touche. All right. So Paul Manafort, a big article tonight in the New York Times, talking about the Mueller investigation, whether or not he's going to indict former campaign manager. Is that what you would call him? Campaign manager, Paul Manafort, to the Trump campaign for exactly what we're talking about, Russia collusion. What do you make of this?
Well, it's not clear yet what he would indict it for. It's important to point out that Paul Manafort was involved with Russia and really with Russian-aligned political parties in the Ukraine. He helped get the Russian stooge, Putin stooge, elected to Ukraine. He got paid millions and millions and millions of dollars from the Ukrainian government. But the allegations against Manafort involve money laundering that preceded Donald Trump. And whether there is an active part of that that includes the Trump administration is not clear.
Yeah, it just keeps getting worse and worse for Paul Manafort. I mean, first you had this raid on his house. Now you have this indictment potentially in the pipeline, which, by the way, only was granted to Mueller through a secret order by the judge. So they had to have had a pretty strong case.
Oh, you mean the surveillance of Manafort?
Correct.
So apparently they surveilled Manafort before the election and after the election.
Okay, can I ask a question? Dumb Justin, right? But is this what Donald Trump is talking about when he says, oh, they wiretapped me at the Trump Tower? When we start seeing these kind of stories come out and you say, oh, well, he didn't specifically mention Paul Manafort, but is that what he's talking about?
No, it's not in the slightest. And in fact, just I think it was last week or the week before, the Justice Department, Trump's Justice Department, came out and said, no, there really wasn't any wiretapping of the Trump Tower, inappropriate wiretapping. So,
this is appropriate because it was judge ordered. That's what I'm saying, that like Trump has been known to manipulate words in his favor on Twitter and other places. But when he's saying Obama wiretapped me, does he really mean that my campaign, he knew about what was happening with Manafort? I'm just saying, connect the dots, guys.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think everyone climbed down off that, and including the Justice Department, just wanted to end it.
So what does it mean for Paul Manafort, this idea that he could be indicted?
It means they may want him to roll on the administration. I think if I was Mueller, that's what I would want to do. So I'd be really concerned, and no good legal team is going to account for this mounting mass of evidence or case against Manafort.
And yet, of course, we don't have a good legal team. We have the Keystone Cops. A great story over the weekend. I think it was in the New York Times. It just so happens that the New York Times, one of the top political reporters, Ken Vogel, was sitting outside at a restaurant in Washington, D.C., and sitting at the next table were the president's two top lawyers who were arguing loudly in public and talking about specific details of the Mueller investigation.
So amazing.
I got to tell you, so I'm a recovering lawyer, but one of the first things I learned in law school was called reasonable expectation of privacy. You don't have one in a public cafe.
I was just surprised.
So shut up.
They would even do that. I mean, well, that just seems really like Bush League.
And there's a question that's coming up now, and I don't know how airtight it is, that this may be shooting holes in attorney-client privilege because they're publicly divulging key details of the investigation. And, you know, this hurts because I think one of the biggest raps against the Trump administration is that these guys are a bunch of amateurs and it's just sloppy.
Right.
Sloppy. And this reinforces it. These two guys were supposed to be two of the top lawyers in Washington, and they're reinforcing
what we all know about. I don't get that high-priced lawyers would do that.
Well, because Trump likes to hire people in his own image. So remember, his first lawyer went on those late-night rants swearing at reporters in email exchanges and phone exchanges, and then he suddenly disappeared. That's, I think, Kasowitz. So Mark Kasowitz. He suddenly disappeared, and then he was replaced by Ty Cobb, a distant cousin of the Ty Cobb, who now is in-house. He's actually being paid by us, the taxpayers, and then so his inside counsel and his outside counsel did this. And seriously, it's not unique to them. I'm in a building, very prominent lawyers in my building, and his staff routinely talk about clients in the elevator with me in it. They have no idea who I am.
Yeah, right.
It's insane. And you just don't do it.
All right. Before we wrap up, Hillary Clinton back in the news, obviously. Who? with her memoir, that she writes, and she's getting a lot of play on that. And also the star of a strange video on a viral tweeted video where Donald Trump is golfing and then it cuts to her falling down as if the ball hit her, which is infuriating because it's not a great joke, and it also has started a litany of thought pieces all across the internet about just how inappropriate the president is. Is this the kind of stuff we're used to it at this point? It seems to be on a cycle where it happens every 2 months or something of that nature, even less. I mean, is this the kind of thing that we become desensitized to as the American people?
I believe they call that normalization.
Do we care? I mean, what do you think, Chris? Do Republicans care about this stuff?
In a Larry David kind of context, it is funny just because it's just so ridiculous and absurd.
It was intentionally trying to be funny.
This actually happened, right? You know, it is without question unpresidential. Okay, so there's nothing more to be said there. But I think it was like Gloria Borger who made this point, and it is true. This kind of takes away from the manliness of Trump, which is ostensibly the one thing that's very important to him, if not being presidential, is that he's obsessed with a woman, can't get over her, and even in victory, is just finding ticky-tack things to go after her for. He looks like less of a man.
Are we getting good media out of Hillary Clinton's memoir? I mean, is the material that's coming out of this worthwhile?
You know, there's a little bit of a gender thing going on, I found. I'm still mad, okay? I'm still mad at Hillary Clinton because she had one job, and that was to save the world from the madman. Fail. And she failed because of her own bad judgment, because of lack of economic message, because of poor campaign tactics, all of which, by the way, I called before election night. I was hoping she would win in spite of that. So for me and for a lot of men I know, we're still really upset about that. women that I've talked to, including my wife, are like, no, her voice should be heard and this is legitimate. And she's saying, you know, she's correct about Comey or about this. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but there's still fundamentally not enough responsibility taken by her for her own misjudgment.
Yeah.
And frankly, isn't it okay for her to just lose and then be able to be critical of the process or about the things that are happening in the world right now?
And every losing candidate writes a book. Writing a book is not new. And she's absolutely entitled to write a book. It's the self-pity thing and the lack of responsibility that bugs me.
It's not just the self-pity. And if she wants to get I understand that she wants to get the last word. I get it. Because that loss is searing to lose to the worst presidential candidate in American history. But, you know, there's an old saying.
Especially when you get 3 million more votes.
There's an old saying, when you're explaining, you're losing. And that's exactly where Hillary is right now. An explainer, and she just looks bad.
Chris Varonis, Dave Lundy, join us Mondays here on The Download. Guys, thanks for stepping in. Chris, thanks for being here for the last 2 weeks since Roebling is jet-setting around the world. We appreciate it, and thanks for being here, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks.